Quiet, please.
You're listening to Birdies and Bogeys, hosted by Jordan Bloxham and Weston Mon, bringing you golf's week in review, recapping your favorite tournaments with professional insight from their perspective. Now, quiet, please. Here's your hosts, Jordan and Weston.
Weston, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
We're doing a morning episode so that we get it out before the vaunted, we need to get it out. We need to have this released before the Shriners tees off, which is why we're doing it this morning. Prestigious way. Just kidding. These events, we were mocking it a little bit, but these events are great for those guys who need to accumulate money and points early, right? You got a guy like Taylor Montgomery who's taking full advantage and has had a top five and a top 10 in his first two events after graduating from the Korn Ferry Tour. Was a great player on the Korn Ferry Tour. Probably should have been playing at the end of last year on the PGA Tour because he was better than the bottom there, right? They need to shake up. They need to do something different where it's a more fluid system through the Korn Ferry to the PGA Tour. They want to make it a better product. How do you make it a better product? Get better players. And you start introducing these guys in earlier too. So, but it's, like I said, it's, they used to call it the silly season. Now it's actual season, but it's still silly, I think, with what they have going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we'll go, we can do first over across the pond in bad weather on great golf courses, which is the reason the Alfred Dunhill Cup gets such good publicity. Ryan Fox holds on to win by one. Actually held off a couple of people that were good. I mean, Rory made a late charge, but Rory does what Rory usually does, is hole number 17. He blows it, hits it in the roadhole bunker, and it blows it.
Wait, no, what?
I love to get, but he's done it a few times in the last month on that DP World Tour events where he's like one of them, he blasted it in the water on a short par four, like missed it bad, which cost him a chance. And then this one, he doubles. Yeah, I think he doubles number 17 at St. Andrews. So it's, you know, it is what it is. He is who we thought he was. I'm just kidding.
Oh, geez. Was it accompanied by him chucking his 3-iron into the water?
No, but it should have been. He would have thrown it into the he would have had to thrown it into the hotel. I think it is what he would have had to do.
Oh, geez. Into the Barry Byrne.
But Ryan Fox shoots a 68. Richard Mansell shoots 76. To drop way out of it. I think he was leading by quite a bit because he shoots 76 and Ryan Fox beats him by 8 in the round, but only in the total, he only beats him by 4. By 4. So Richard Mansell, learning experience. It's hard to win anywhere. But one of the guys, Alex Noren, missed a short one on 17. Knocked it like 4 feet. Missed it. Birdied 18. But hits a tee shot on 18 that bounces off a building and bounces to the back left of the green. He hit it so far right. It was out of bounds. Out of bounds and bounces off the building. So, but congrats to Ryan Fox. It is a good tournament because they play really good courses.
So yeah.
It's good that way for sure.
I mean, anytime you get to play St. Andrews, that's pretty awesome.
It was like St. Andrews because they do, St. Andrews, Kings Barn, and Carnoustie. So it's a pretty good trifecta. And it's, you know, they do the Pro-Am along with it. So it's a thing. It's kind of like the Pebble Beach here on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
But congrats. Like I said, not a lot of golf going on, but Rory's stacking up those points. So that now he can be, because he's leading the DP, like Race for the Globe. Race for the Globe is the LPGA Tour. But I can't remember.
The Saudi finish, what is it? Or the...
Yeah, Race to Dubai is what they call it.
Yeah, that's what it is. Race to Dubai.
So he's leading, I believe, that. So there's going to be another PGA Tour member, full-time PGA Tour member, that probably wins the DP World Tour overall title.
Well, you wouldn't want to be an active and totally exempt player taking the first spot to a potential player that could earn a tour card, right? You wouldn't want to do that. So
now back across into the States, the Chicken Open. Oh, wait, Sanderson Farms. Sorry, they've got chicken.
There we go.
Sanderson Farms Championship. Jackson, Mississippi. They probably are glad that they're holding it right now, though, because I think they've had it in like the middle of July before. Can you imagine the middle of July in Jackson, Mississippi? No, thanks. But there was not a big crowd, as you can imagine.
No. Why isn't that?
Well, because it's the Sanderson Farm Chicken Open is why. But Mackenzie Hughes, Pink Staffer, we'll get to that later.
Yep.
From Canada, gets the win in a two-hole playoff. Makes a clutch putt. He did make some clutch putts coming down the stretch. I did watch like the last nine holes in the playoff of this tournament. Let's just say that the field, Sam Burns is the headliner, is the top guy. And then Keegan Bradley. Yeah, not a deep field. But Candy Hughes gets it done. Now he's exempt for 2 years. Although he probably would have been, he's a solid player to begin with. But it gives, like I said, gives these guys a chance to accumulate points and keep their tour card and note the PGA Tour for more cash.
Yeah. So here's some cool numbers for McKenzie. 22 of 24 up and down.
Yeah,
he was good. A 91.67% success rate of getting up and down. That is just insane.
Yeah, it was good.
So if you're ever curious about what it takes to be on the PGA Tour, there's your benchmark.
Yeah. Get it done around the greens and you'll be fine. But so, like I said, he was money. Like I said, I think he missed one putt of what it was. So it was, like I say, not a long one. Or he made a couple of long ones. So I think he made one of them was a par putt on a par five, which it gave some guys trouble. I think the other guy who was playing with McKenzie bogeyed it. And then I watched him, Emiliano Grillo, make an eight. Like, it was bad. It was bad.
That's terrible.
And it was all around the green. He was like right. He was in the greenside bunker in two. And went boo boo boo. It was that. But yeah. So that's pretty much it for that. So now it's just ancillary stuff. Strixon.
Yeah.
We had some Strixon Ping and Titleist releases.
Yeah. Some stuff started to sneak out on tour. So that's cool. Looks like Strixon Cleveland kind of revealed a few new wedges for their Zip Core line.
I've seen the driver in person. I've seen the Mark II irons, just pictures, but I've not seen the new wedges. So I'll have to check those out.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing new to them. I thought they looked exactly like the last ones, so there's nothing really that's changed much. But it looks like they've got some new models, just different grinds. So that's nice.
Yeah, gives a few more options. Titleist releases new ball.
Yeah.
New markings and alignment arrow. So, how big is the alignment arrow? You've seen the pictures.
It's the same as it was, but they just don't have the arrow. Usually when you have an arrow, you've got a straight line and then two little wings that kick off that to make it an arrow. But this time, they don't have those little wings tipped off of it. It's just a dual line that comes to a spear. I'd say a spear is more of what it really is. And so it just makes it a little bit cleaner. I had to double check, take two looks to be like, did they actually change something? So
yeah. Did they really change it?
That's kind of a big deal when they started to see the new Pro V1X, because it's like, how do you make a ball? I mean, whether you believe the marketing or you just take the tour numbers for granted or whatever, how do you make the number one ball in golf better? And so I'm always interested to see what they do. And I mean,
What did they say?
I haven't seen anything yet pop up about what it's designed to do. I haven't read into that yet, but I need to dig in a little bit more.
Okay. So yeah, it'll be interesting. It probably won't be at this point, they can't do much, right? Unless they come out with a new material or a new something that really changes it. They can't do a ton besides changing kind of the compound of it, right?
Well, there's
or how it's constructed. A little bit.
Yeah, there's a few things. I mean, how do you eject? Yeah. Okay. So we'll kind of cover what you can change on a golf ball. You've got material differences, and then you've got design, right? So material differences are, hey, let's make the core softer, and that could be reducing the compression. And when you make a core softer, it can actually reduce spin. And the reason is if you have an inner core that's more reactive or more resistant, it puts more opposing pressure to a strike, causing more spin. So that's why you'll see like the AVX spin a little bit less than the Pro V1X or the Pro V1 and so forth. And that's why the Pro V1X has the most firm core from a compression standpoint. And so that really helps from the spin. The Pro V1X spins more than anything else on your irons and wedges. And then it's the Pro V1, which has a slightly softer core. Then it's the AVX, which has the softest. And then there's layers, you know, that can affect spin and things like that. And so I don't know the science behind which layer does what, but apparently you can design a golf club to where it doesn't spin off the driver, but it does spin on the wedges, things like this that. And then...
Yeah, how it kind of reacts right now. First and second layer. Yeah. And yeah.
And then the last piece is like the softness of the cover. How durable is it? Can they make it more durable but still have elasticity to get caught in the grooves without the cover being like a top flight, right? And then it's the aerodynamics. So it's like, do they improve the aerodynamics by changing the dimple count, or do they change the depth of the dimples, or do they, you know, there's all those factors which will affect performance and spin. And so again, no information has been released as to what they've done to improve it over previous year's models, but we'll probably have that in the next week or so.
Yeah, I might have to check with our Titleist rep here and see, get the skinny.
Yeah,
he'll probably like it goes further with the driver and spins more with the wedges.
Oh, kind of wouldn't that be?
Oh, what do you know?
He's been able to say that for 12 consecutive years.
Seems to be the pat answer. So, yeah. But then Ping released their new G430. Well, they haven't released it. It's out on tour. I have seen it in person. I really like the look's the same, right? And I've got the G400. The look is the same, but it feels weight wise, and I guess sounds more like the G400 again, which is good.
You think? Okay, so it's more like a previous model.
Yes, and something, and obviously they did carbon this time on the top.
Yeah, so that's the biggest factor. Like, there are people have been putting carbon in their drivers for over 10 years now, and this is the first time Ping's really jumping into the multi-material design.
Yes. So, yeah. So it's I like it. I like it so far. He didn't, because I guess the regional guy is pretty like, don't hit it yet, right? I'm like, it's a demo. So I didn't get to hit it, but I'm waiting to hit it so that I can upgrade. Maybe it'll give me some benefit, but I don't know. It'll still take a lot to get the G400 out of the bag.
Yeah. And I think that's the case for Ping in general. Like, there's just a lot of people that cling on to old Ping equipment across the board on tour. And so, for instance, and we'll talk about it, but a little spoiler, where Mac Hughes is still playing some S55s. Those irons came out like when I was in high school. So
yeah, imagine that. That's, well, Fitzpatrick is still playing the S55s, I think.
I know. So
good wit, good irons. But okay. And this is when I heard this, because it came out in a podcast from Nota Begay. Is Nota Begay getting paid as PR for Tiger?
He's kind of the official mouth.
If he's not, he should be. Because he just leaks little things, right?
No, it's in conjunction, right? You would think he's like destroying his friendship with Tiger, but it turns out Nota Begay behind the scenes of the PGA Tour is like an instrumental piece in organization. Apparently, from what I hear, he's like an organization guru, a process guru. So he's improved like tour operations significantly. And so when you have somebody who's essentially working for the PGA Tour, which I believe is 100% true, and he did go to college with Tiger, and Tiger is a key member and stakeholder in the PGA Tour, now you kind of have this trifecta, love triangle. So,
yeah. So he leaked it and said he's going to play in the tour. He may play one event next fall. I'm like, guys, he'll play when he's ready.
Well, and there are some injuries that I saw Tiger happen, and I was completely like, oh, he'll come back. And I'm a huge Tiger fanboy, but this time, like, guys, he's not coming back.
I don't think so. Like, Nota Begay says, you just never know. You just never know. And I'm like, no, I think we kind of know this time.
That's the hype train, right?
Like, that's where I'm like, they've got to keep him relevant. He needs to win the PP.
Oh, I know.
The PIP, whatever it is. Again, look,
you gotta keep him in the limelight. you ride your marquee names. I mean, it's amazing that Tiger still is the needle because he's kind of so far removed from it. But I imagine he's going to play in one other thing, but that, you know, definitely the father and sons. So that's pretty cool.
And he announced his field for the World Golf Ranking eligible Hero Classic or Hero Challenge or World Challenge. But I mean, there's no real surprises, right?
Well, where's DJ Bryson and Patrick Reed?
And Cam Smith. Although,
yeah,
one notable that's not on here that he may end up getting. Rory's not on that list.
Ooh.
Maybe which, they're business they partners. Partner.
Yeah.
Business partners. But yeah, nothing. That, my guess is he'll be a tournament exemption in the TBA. He may have had something that may conflict, and so he's not there yet. But I don't know. It was, like I said, it's a fun tournament to watch just because it's, you got 20 really good players, you know, playing in a nice tropical event, rubbing in our face that we're sitting in 35 degree weather. Well, at least we are.
Yeah.
There are people.
Not here. California. that'll be interesting. But yeah, lots of great marquee players. And I was curious about the Hero Challenge. Do you get official world golf ranking points? Wait, yes, I thought there was rules about you had to have a field within a field of greater than 100 players, and there had to be a 36 hole cut, and there had to be, wait, do those not apply?
There's exemptions. There's a few things that don't meet all the requirements. And it just so happens that Tiger's tournament is all those exemptions.
Wait, exceptions. So you're telling me this exhibition tournament now qualifies? Wow, that's so strange.
That they actually call it an exhibition tournament. but it's okay because they get released from the PGA Tour. So I think that's the biggest exception biggest difference that they get is you get, because as Jay Monahan just said, the PGA Tour and LIV will never come together and that they can never coexist. Which, like this guy, I mean, if I'm a player, I'm like, dude, just shut up. Because what happens, so that means if they cannot coexist and the LIV gets to a point where they're bigger than the PGA Tour, guess which tour goes away?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Guess which tour goes away?
It's going to be interesting how things unfold because, and we've mentioned this before, but LIV Golf doesn't need to do what it's going to do had the PGA Tour said, do whatever, make some money on the side. That's great. Because these exhibition events are not stroke events, stroke play. And so I'm really interested to see what happens when LIV decides to make a stroke play tour and jump through all the hoops to get official world golf ranking points. And if they do that, like,
game on,
it's over. Yeah. It's game on. That is going to have a direct impact into the PGA Tour pocketbooks. And there's just going to be.
And it's the more Jay Monahan says stuff like this, the more Greg Norman's, and he's already going through these scenarios in my head, I guarantee. Like, people are knocking and giving Greg flack, but I'm like, all these guys, do you realize, like, he's been pretty, like, low-key, but dude is a multi-billionaire, like running very successful companies. So you might want to like slow your roll about what he is capable of.
Exactly.
So we'll see how it is. We got the Bangkok event this week, starting on Friday. So, and the course, like, they did an overview. I got to look at it a little bit more, but the course looked good. And on the PGA Tour, you have the Shriners, which is at TP Summerlin, which is TP Summerlin. It's solid, but it's not great. You put it in here, and you want to talk about Charlie Woods swing just because you like to. You got to keep Tiger Woods relevant.
No. So I only talk about it because Golf Digest and everybody else oozed over it, right? He's starting to fill out, right? He's starting to grow up. The club's not swinging him anymore. He's starting to swing the club, and there are a lot of similarities between what he's doing with the club and what Tiger's doing. And it's not just his mannerisms; it's like the actual mechanical aspects of the golf swing. Like it's pretty impressive. And I know there's a lot of hype around it, but I do want to preface this. Like, the list of PGA Tour players that are successful, that have children, that then later become successful in the PGA Tour is very, very, very short. Talking like three people. Like, that is it. Like, and I think Haas.
Haas had one. Haas. Are you thinking Haas? Bill Haas?
Yeah, Haas. Yeah, Bill Haas and Jay Haas. Yeah. That's like the most severe example of like success, to be honest, between those two.
Got some things down the line where you had Arnold Palmer's grandson, you know, that had some success, but he's not like.
Not a direct success.
It's hard. Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah. And maybe we just define success as you, your dad as a PGA Tour Hall of Famer, and then you as the son later play on the tour and win.
Yes.
And maybe, and not just like the Korn Ferry Tour, but we're talking the PGA Tour.
Right.
And that is like a list of like two. I mean, I don't know the exact number, but it's very, very small. It's very small.
So you're putting huge expectations, and you're coming from, you know, arguably, right? Because there still is an argument, but arguably the greatest player of all time.
Yeah.
And you've got that pressure on. And he's playing good. But like you see, you have on here, he's an alternate in Junior World. So he's not even.
I didn't qualify.
He didn't qualify.
And this is. So it's like,
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, set real expectations because Tiger, he won Junior World like every year. And then he won the Junior U.S. Amateur 3 years in a row. Then he won the U.S. Amateur 3 years in a row. Then, like, it's a ridiculous accolade to try and follow that string of success.
And won PGA tournament, all right? And it's crazy.
The last time go on.
You're putting a lot of pressure on this kid. And if there's anyone who can kind of do that and handle it, it would be great, and he would be the one to do it, right?
From a perspective of he has all the tools, right?
And how's all the resources, all the mental resources and stuff.
And I think that's great, but you could say the same for, like, you know, Jack Nicklaus's kids, Gary, things like that. And it just kind of goes to show that, like, if you're a dad and you have kids and you can kind of see it, there's some of them that have grit and there's some of them that don't. And then it's not passed on genetically. It's just who they are as a person. And when you see those people that have that grit, that's kind of the best way I can describe it. Like, it's a different game. So.
Right. So. Yeah, like I said, wish him the best. It would be kind of cool to see, like, somebody, like, live up to close to that, right? Because it's hard, right? You're going from the best player in the world to then, can you have a son that's the best player in the world? Yeah, that one, that would be unprecedented in any sport, really.
Oh, absolutely.
Because even like Ken Griffey Sr. and Ken Griffey Jr., right? Ken Griffey Jr. was amazing. Ken Griffey Jr. was good, but he wasn't great. Like in other sports, if you look at it that way. So there are some, and a lot of the times it's you get somebody that succeeds in one sport and then their child succeeds in another sport.
Yeah. So. And that could happen too. But yeah, there it's super rare. So obviously because he's Tiger's kid, yeah, he's gonna get some screen time, but like let's manage the hype. Right, let's get realistic, and he's gonna hit some good shots. I think that's fun, but yeah, man, it's tough.
All right, so let's get into Mackenzie Hughes's bag. We're not gonna get into Ryan Fox's bag, we don't have I don't have the time, but yeah, we're gonna get right on him, and we only care about PGA, it's the States right now, right? Except for when we do the live tour stuff,
yeah.
No swag on Ryan Fox. It's just easier to find it on PGA Tour guys. Yeah.
So like Mackenzie Hughes, he's pinged through the bag. He's got a lot of old stuff, a lot of new stuff, but we'll start with the driver. He's got the Ping G425 LST. And that seems to be of the new Ping drivers that have come out as they roll out, the 425, I think, was pretty widely accepted. Yeah. But there's still a couple guys that will hop back to like the 410 and even the 400. And then he has a unique setup. He goes straight to 5-wood, no 3-wood.
Yeah. Goes 5-wood.
It goes 5-wood in the Ping G425 Max. And so from a gapping perspective, he just bombs it, and then he's got clubs that hit into the green, because after that, boom, 7-wood. And it really is a true 7-wood. It's 20.5 degrees, and that's just to hit greens, man. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And then he's got a pretty soft, like his iron setup, the I210s, 4 through 6. So he does like a true combo, right? Where he goes there, and then he goes to the S55s, which we talked about, in the 7-through pitching wedge with the Project X 6.5s in them. So not like even like a super stiff shaft. Like a lot of them go into the 7-0s when they go into the Project X, the guys who like the Project X stuff. And then he goes into, he's got old wedges actually, the Glide 2.0s. I mean, they're the 4.0 now. So.
Yeah. No, it's pretty crazy. I'm looking at this. I think the S55s came out in 2013.
At least.
So they're almost older than that. Yeah. So they're almost 10 years old. They might even be a little bit older, but I was really surprised to see how much the I210s look like the S55s. Like they are brothers.
Yeah, they're pretty close. They are really close. They look a lot more where they did that. The one thing that Ping did really well in that I210, iBlade, S55 kind of things, they married them really good. So you could have a true combo set that didn't look too different from the the deal. But then his putter may be the oldest thing in his bag.
Yeah, the Piper C.
Yeah, the Scottsdale Piper C. That one's it's an old one, and it's a different shape than you see too, right? Because is it a center shafted? It's not a center shafted.
Yeah, it is. It's center shafted mallet.
Because when I was watching it, I was like, you don't see a lot of those around, but yeah, the Ripper C. But he was rolling it. He rolled the rock. He was doing it good. So.
Yeah. Sweet. So, I mean, it's a cool bag. It's got lots of fun stuff in there. But yeah, he's Ping all the way through, which is rare these days, but I love that he's rocking a 7-wood and he's never going to give up his 10-year-old irons.
Yeah. They're just good. They work. Don't give up what works, especially in the irons, right? Because iron technology doesn't change that much. So if it's good, roll with it as long as it's got grooves.
Nice.
Well, other than that, I think that's all we've got for today. Everybody, thanks for listening. Enjoy LIV Golf this week and Las Vegas Golf at the Shriners. You know there's going to be birdies made in Vegas just because there always is.
Yeah.
And some crowds because it's Vegas. And so you get those crowds out there.
Well, and there's something else happening in Vegas this weekend. The BYU Notre Dame football game.
Oh, I'm like, what is happening this weekend? Like, I have no idea. As you can tell, I'm not a BYU guy.
So nope.
You're going to have all those gambling Mormons down there. Then they'll go watch some golf right after. So,
yep.
All right.
Awesome.
But yeah, everybody, thanks for listening. And until next time, we are out.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Birdies and Bogeys. If you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe, leave us a rating and review, and until next time, have a great week.